if there's ever a time where we needed to pull together as believers of Christ and unite and try to strengthen and make the world a better place, it's now.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like he's preaching our message.
There's one body, one church, one spirit, one hope. The realities of the faith, the realities that unify us are already there.
Christ praying for unity. What should we be praying for? Mm. I mean, it's the one prayer request of Jesus. Think about it. In the Bible, that we actually have a say in whether or not it comes to fruition or not.
I think in what God has done in you guys in this podcast and the multitude of folks that you're reaching, the diversity, whatever God intended when you started this, he's able to bring it to completion.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Whole Church Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Joshua Knoll, here with your other co-host, TJ Tiberius Von Blackwell.
Howdy ho.
And we're also here with a special guest, Jake Dobrens. Am I saying that right?
Jake Dobrens.
Yeah. Dobrens, okay. Awesome, yeah. Of Theophany Media Company. And yes, they do a few different podcasts and stuff. And we're really excited to talk to him about what all he does and just kind of get into that and some of his beliefs. Before we do, though, we like to review some of what our audience has been up to. Today, we'd like to review last week's silly question. So last week, we asked our audience on our social medias, as well as our guests, so check out that podcast, what their favorite terrain was. So I had three favorite answers. I'm allowed to share three, so that's what we're getting. One is kind of a two-parter. Me and TJ's good friends, Russell and Brooke, both answered. And they have a notorious kind of argument. Russell loves the coastline and Brooke loves the mountains. So they just kind of use that to voice that kind of argument. So that was
of course they did.
Yeah. I also really liked Tim Blackwell's answer. He said choo-choo was his favorite type of terrain. I found that amusing. Yeah. And then I'm going to have to give the number one spot again to my brother. And yes, I'm biased and I'm sorry, everybody. But my brother, Matthew Knoll, said his favorite type of terrain was, and quote, his bed. Which are just, you know what?
Bravo, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. Beds are nice. That being said, we're going to jump into this week's silly question. And Jake, this is just something we do to kind of ease the tension and because it's a good laugh and me and Tito just enjoy it, really. So we'll answer first. The question this week is, if you were an action figure, what would you want included in your toy set? TJ, do you want to go first?
I can, yeah.
Okay.
So is it just us as an action figure as of right now?
Yeah, and it's not what you think you should go with. It's what you would want to come with.
Yeah, I would want to come with like a sword, just a really big sword.
Okay.
I think it would be hilarious because there's no reason I should have a sword.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, people buy the action figure and just carrying like a 6-foot two-handed greatsword, which is which taller than I am. So,
yeah. See, I have this.
I think that would be entertaining.
Yeah. I have this weird, like, creative, like, picture in my head where it's like, it's me as an action figure, but for some reason, I'm also wearing an apron. And I come with either a blueberry pie or a hockey stick for some reason.
Oh.
And I think the hockey stick is just because I'm like, yeah, that would be amusing because I don't really watch hockey. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just no reason I would come with a hockey stick, but, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Jake, if you were an action figure, what would you want included in your toy set?
I think I'm going to have to go with a lightsaber. Immediately brought to mind Star Wars guy action figures, which are mostly what I had at my house. So I'm thinking a lightsaber, probably a blue one.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just going to become a Star Wars toy. Sounds great.
I guess so. Yeah.
Josh, yours kind of reminds me of there was an NHL player named Jim Carrey.
That's great. You know, when I was thinking about it too, I was like, because it's a toy set, I even like, I want to come with an entire like hockey rink, you know, like how some toys come with like a castle or like a house. I want to just come with a hockey rink. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody knows what to ask for Christmas then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're Joshua, Jake and TJ action figures. That's all anybody wants.
That's all I want, really. Right. So now that we're done with that again. So one thing we believe is extremely important to church unity is to hear one another's story of how we came to Christ. Would you mind telling us your testimony, Jake?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those guys that grew up in the church all my life from kind of a strong Christian family who had a history in Christianity, who had a history in Christian, kind of goes back some generations. I've been born and raised and still am in the Churches of Christ, part of Christianity, I guess you could say. We like to resist the word denomination as much as possible, because there's some denial about if we're a denomination, but don't tell them we're secretly a denomination. And so that's a big part of my story, just being in the church, just being exposed to everything. My church, keep in mind, I went to the same church from like birth to until I left for college.
Right.
They were really good at biblical education. So I knew my Bible and I got a lot of opportunities. Starting in like sixth grade, I think, I would lead like 5-minute Wednesday night devotionals. And I just kind of got to have a lot of spaces to get involved and to preach a little bit here and there and to do youth group stuff. So that was a big part of kind of how I developed in the faith, learned a lot, and then had these opportunities to do a lot. And then sometime around middle school, I really started to get that fire for God. A lot of it was because of apologetics. I learned all about Christian evidences and that kind of thing. And I was like, how come nobody else can see all these same things that I can see? And so then I made it my mission to help everyone see these same kinds of things and, you know, convert the world or something. Working on that one still, but
yeah.
We'll see.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so I have a little different interest in things now, but that's really the quick version, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty relatable.
So you said you're part of the Churches of Christ? Is that correct?
Yes, the Church of Christ.
Is that a, you said it's not a denomination, but is it closer to like Pentecostal or Baptist? Or for those of us who don't know where that is, how would you place that, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, the Churches of Christ are part of the Restoration Movement. So our closest cousins are the Disciples of Christ, and then there's some other offshoots like International Churches of Christ and different things like that. So we're probably closest to Baptist in terms of the kind of the churches most people know about. But that Restoration Movement was originally kind of like a let's get back to the Bible. Let's sort of like a mini reformation, but we didn't even like the word reformation because we didn't want to just reform. We wanted to start over. Now, we're not the only people to do that, and everybody kind of comes up with their own sort of version of that, but it was actually a unity movement. We didn't want to be a denomination because we're saying, no, we're just Christian. Like, that's it. Yet over time, how that kind of happens, even with those great intentions, you start to add things. Okay, wait, you have to actually believe this now. You have to believe this. Oh, you have to believe that. And then you sort of kind of start drifting from other churches and started drawing lines in the sand, even though the intention was we preach Christ and Christ only. If you believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, you're in. Like, that was the bare minimum, but that's not really the case anymore.
Right. That's super relevant for what we talk about. You know,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically all we talk about.
Yeah, man, it's really fascinating stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. I was just reading about, or I've been reading recently a lot about Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones and his arguments with John Stott. And that's sort of their whole thing was Dr. Lloyd-Jones is like, hey, everybody who's in a church right now who believes something bad, leave that church and we'll just start the church. And John Stott kind of made the other argument of, yeah, if you do that, you're going to end up just creating a new split, and that doesn't help us. What helps us is to all work together, to come together, not to leave again. Which, you know, who knows who's right? It's just interesting that that argument just keeps coming back up in the church so many times.
Yeah, it does keep coming up.
Yeah. Sorry, before we move on, do you have anything else you'd like to share about your church or just thoughts on that kind of argument? Or?
Well, what really sets us apart, like the big shocker about the Church of Christ is that we don't use instruments, completely a cappella. Yeah, that always blows people away. And I've adopted this, and I don't know that it would be as hard-lined as others on this point. But the whole idea, what kind of the Church of Christ, what sets us apart is the idea of speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible's silent. That was kind of the phrase. Now, that doesn't actually happen in actuality. Like, we have these slogans that aren't always employed evenly, let's just say. So obviously we use things like PowerPoints, which is not in the Bible or something like that. Uh-huh. But people have worked that out differently. But yeah, our mark of weirdness is no instruments at all.
That is pretty odd.
Yeah, that's interesting. But would you say that would in any way prohibit you from being united with churches that do use instruments? I mean, you could go to another worship service and be fine, or is that kind of a mark of tension?
Well, I'm in my 20s, and my generation in the Church of Christ is a lot more open-minded. But if you go to somebody much older than me, yeah, they wouldn't be able to worship at any church that had an instrument. I don't draw those lines. I like the a cappella. That's what I'm used to now. I mean, that's what I've been doing forever.
Super cool thing to hear, personally.
It's beautiful. And I got to say, we're probably some better singers than some other people in churches. Because we have to be, right? Yeah. We have no choice.
Yeah.
I personally am not a good singer. The music. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Which is pretty easy.
So that definitely stops unity in some cases. Our cousins, like the Disciples of Christ, use instruments, and then there are even Churches of Christ that use instruments. One of the reasons why I wouldn't necessarily always call us a denomination, we have no central body. Every church can kind of do its own thing, and we're kind of like loosely together. But really quickly, you kind of learn who's on our particular side of the Church of Christ and who's, you know, the liberal, who's the conservative one and this and that. So there's always a way to draw lines, which was against what we are trying to do. But I mean, that happens in every church. We start drawing lines, which is unfortunate.
Well, in every group of people, really. I mean, outside of the church, it's just how things happen. I mean, look at American politics. You know, we weren't that different at one point. You know where we are today.
That's true for like all countries too. It's not just any group of people will divide themselves.
Yeah.
No matter how small. But one thing we like to do on our podcast to help us become more familiar with our guest's theology is our speed round segment. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and what we ask is that you answer them in one sentence or less, one word. If you can't answer in a sentence, then you just say pass and we'll go on to the next one. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. All right. So, what is worship to you?
Humbling ourselves as we assign ultimate value to God.
What is discipleship to you?
Imitating someone as they imitate Christ.
Are you more Arminian or Calvinist?
I believe that humans have finite freedom, but God is ultimately sovereign. So, both and.
All right. Do you believe in a continuation of the gifts of the Spirit?
I do believe in the continuation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with some caveats that would have to be explored in much more detail than I can give in one sentence.
Right. Do you believe speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I do not believe that.
Right. Do you believe in continual sanctification?
I think I probably do. depending on how that would be defined.
Yeah, that's usually how they answer that question. Right. What is your view of the authority of Scripture and church tradition?
Scripture and church tradition point back and witness to Jesus, who is the ultimate authority.
Now, what is your view on the Godhead, the Trinity?
It's true. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it happened. How many of the seven sacraments do you hold to, if any?
Probably baptism and the Eucharist, if I had to pinpoint the two.
Right. What is your view on election? Not the 2020 election. That's a different podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on that one.
All right. Well, that's the end of the speed round. Congratulations. You made it.
All right. Do I get a certificate or something?
Yeah, we'll mail you one.
Okay.
I wish. I wish we just had the ability to do that. It would be fun. Oh, man. So, Jake, what could you tell our audience about your podcast or both of your podcasts? You know?
Yeah, the main podcast I have right now is The Bible, But Funnier. That one's more geared towards kids and family. It's kind of like an all-ages kind of thing. Just like any good cartoon like Phineas and Ferb. You know, it's really for kids, but everybody can kind of enjoy it, right? That's the idea for that one. And then the new podcast coming out in January is called Creatively Christian, and that is for, well, creative Christians. You guessed it. And creativity there is just defined incredibly broadly. Performers and artists and speakers and writers, but also people in ministry that maybe do something a little bit different than the norm. That's how we define creativity. It's kind of whatever.
Right.
So is it like an interview podcast? You're just interviewing different people who do ministry differently, or?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, cool. We're interviewing Christian creatives of a variety of experiences and skill sets, and just kind of trying to figure out what's their theology, how does that influence kind of how they work, and then also just some little bit of practical elements here and there. And then we're going to have kind of a Patreon, kind of a bonus kind of content for paid subscribers that goes a little bit more in depth on the business side of creating.
Interesting. Well, we know a little bit about Patreon. Go on over there, support us for as little as $1 a month, you know.
yeah.
But,
we're not good at it, though.
So what led to your decision to start these shows?
Well, I've been a podcast fanatic for a while. I've binged podcasts for a long time. I guess not always, but for a while. And I always kind of wanted to do my own thing. I mean, of all the kinds of media that you can create, it's one of the easier ones, as you guys probably know. I mean, right. To be really good, it obviously takes hard work and maybe some equipment, but it's one of the easiest things to produce and get your stuff out to the world.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. That's one reason I wanted to start it. And I did The Bible But Funnier initially, back when I started my company, Theophany Media, because it was kind of like the minimal viable product. Like, what can I do that's simple and easy to just get something out there and kind of learn the world of podcasting? So The Bible But Funnier has less than 15 minutes, and it's just, I take a Bible story and I kind of rewrite it funny. It doesn't take me more than about 3 hours a week in total.
Wow. Yeah, just kind of the lowest hanging fruit kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to start. This is the easiest place to start. I'm going to start there.
But I do regret not doing an interview format because that way you don't necessarily have to create all the content, or at least not as much. And I love interacting with interesting people. And so I'm really excited to do another podcast with the interview style. So you can talk to cool people and then have them share with their audiences. So kind of increase the reach of that podcast, you know, all those kind of tricks.
Oh, yeah. And it's honestly, it's just one thing that we love just because, you know, we make the joke a lot where we're like, yeah, we don't have to be smart as long as we just interview smart people. We sound great.
There you go. Well, I don't know why you're interviewing me then, but thanks.
Smarter than us. That's the bar.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it takes. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's funny because we started doing like once a month, the first week of the month, where we are going through the Bible and just kind of doing our own thing. And I think it's TJ's least favorite week of the month.
Yeah.
We just had to create our own content.
Right.
It's a lot harder that way.
Yeah. It is. I mean, like, I tried to write my own song one time, and, you know, that's still not finished. And in the meantime, I've recorded like 70 episodes for this podcast. So, you know, you tell me which one's easier.
Man, I wrote my own song lyrics for a few different songs back in high school. And if someone could get their hands on it, I'm sure it would be hilarious stuff now.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there's
it would have to be.
Bonus content for Patreon subscribers. So. Yeah,
if you can find it.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of people think the Bible is already pretty funny. You know, in some of the styles that it chooses to use sometimes. What made you think to make it funnier?
I think that's an interesting question because I don't know a lot of people that think it's funny. I mean, there are many people that don't really want to think of the Bible as anything different than, you know, the sanctimonious and holy, you know, don't touch it. It's something special and unique. And to apply something like humor gets a bad rap in some cases.
It really does.
It's really unfortunate. You know, you're sophisticated if you watch that latest drama movie. But if you're watching that, you know, I don't know, Will Ferrell comedy, like people think you're not very smart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe that's accurate depending on the Will Ferrell comedy. But
for sure.
The point is, I think the Bible is funny, but we miss some of the humor because of the separation of context.
Right.
And so the reason I make it funnier for two reasons. One, that kind of makes it accessible. The Bible at times reads kind of wooden, like it's not to the standards of our novels today, which I think is good because, I mean, standards of novels always change. The Bible is a little bit more simple and direct some places. However, to make it funnier, you're kind of increasing some of the accessibility. So that's one. But two, humor brings up things that we take for granted. If you ever listen to a comedian or something, they'll say something and you'll laugh. And all they're doing is like pointing out something that everybody knows, you know?
Yeah.
How about that airline food? You know, that's the classic one. We all laugh because, oh, airline food's not very good. We have that collective experience. It's a truth we already have. But when you put it in that comedic format, it kind of comes to life.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, man, aren't billboards just hideous? And everyone's like, wow, yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's funny that you talk about it. You said the Bible's already funny. I know Sunday morning, I think it was. We were watching my cat drink water, and for some reason that naturally led to me just telling the story of Gideon. But I didn't like, you know, a lot of times when you tell the story, you know, you put emphasis on things or whatever. I literally just told the main points of the story. And when I get to the point where like the punchline is that God just has to make a bunch of noise and the people run away scared, I'm like, you know, I just kind of had to laugh a little bit. That's actually just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but a lot of people. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
This is probably leading into kind of where you're going, but a lot of people don't feel like they have kind of permission to think that story is funny because we put these categories like history or something on it, and then that makes us kind of uncomfy with laughing at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that definitely happens. Even in like just modern historical texts, it's just like, oh nope, that can't be funny. It's just academia I have to read.
Yeah.
But that's a terrible mindset. Everything is a little funny, usually.
Yeah.
Most cases. Anyway, so what would you say is the funniest story in the Bible?
Well, I got to actually go with the Book of Jonah.
I agree.
Good. That's the most
frustrating story to me. That story aggravates me so much.
It should. It should. So I actually think like the genre of Jonah is a comedy, and that doesn't mean it's not accurate. It doesn't mean it is accurate. It's just clearly how it's written. It's trying to be hilarious. And that's why, yeah, and that's why I did that as the first episode of the Bible, but funnier. I started out with that one because Jonah is the worst prophet. Like, he can't even do his job. His whole job is to tell people uncomfortable things, but he can't do that.
Yeah.
So there's an issue there. And then you got the whole big fish slash whale, who knows?
Yeah.
Which, the more you think about that, is really awkward. Like, you know, he's in the digestive tract of a big fish. Like,
yeah.
He just kind of squeezed in an intestine there. Like,
yeah. Like, you have any idea how many different intellectual properties have just taken that one part of the story of Jonah and put it in their own series? Because it's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this dude's stuck in a digestive tract now.
I just find it really funny, and not to make fun of the fact that this happens. Like, I understand why people do it, and I don't discourage them from doing this. I actually think it's a good thing that they do, but I think it's hilarious how much time has been devoted by different people trying to figure out what fish it was that swallowed Jonah. Not like that's something that we humans decided was, you know, worth this much time.
Right. Missing kind of the point there.
Yeah. Funny stuff. But so some people, and I know you kind of already hinted at it, but some people might think that joking about the Bible or making the Bible funny kind of verges on sacrilegion. What do you say to people with that kind of concern?
Well, I'd probably point out some of the ways where the Bible is funny, like Jonah, or some of the things Jesus says are funny, a little different kind of humor. You know, Jesus can be sarcastic.
I'll say Jesus is like witty. The original king of sarcasm.
Yeah. And you just got to point out there and, you know, lead them and say, like, come on, how can you not take that as funny? And then they recognize, okay, that is humor. And then in some of those obvious places, then you can look for the weirdness all over. Humor, this is a terrible way to boil down humor, but a lot of what humor has to do is the twist, is the reversal, the surprise. And in that definition, there's that's all over scripture. Reversals and surprises. Oh wait, the younger brother is more important than the older brother. Like, that is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, that same story happens like 8 times. Just kind of helping them kind of, one, sort of expand their definition of humor, point out the few places it is. I think that can help people be a little bit more okay with joking about the Bible. But also, I would describe my intentions here. Like, my intention is not to make fun of the Bible. My intention is, I don't know, to make fun with the Bible, perhaps, is a way to say it. Yeah. You know, I'm not laughing at the Bible. I'm laughing with the Bible.
Right.
If the Bible was trying to do something, then let's do it along with it. If it's trying to get us to laugh, let's laugh. If it wants us to weep, let's weep. Like, that is an appropriate response. Stoicism to the Bible might be appropriate here and there, but certainly with scripture that has poetry and song and humor and, you know, big battle action war scenes, it has all kinds of genres in it. We can't just assume that our reaction is going to be the same uniformly across 66 books.
Oh yeah. And you know, joy is one of the fruit of the spirit. Stoicism isn't. So I mean, there's that.
Exactly.
But, you know, I gotta think, you know, when Jesus said some of his sarcastic smart aleck remarks to the Pharisees, yeah, you think what you want about us laughing about it, but I'm willing to bet that God was up there having a good chuckle. That's my son.
Yeah. Ooh, burn.
Yeah. All right, guys, and now it's time for a quick break. We wanted to thank all of our listeners and let you guys know all the many ways you can help us keep this show
Josh,
going.
This is going to take too long.
All right, so either of you think you could just, I don't know, tell them all the ways they can support us in 10 seconds or less?
Follow us on social media, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Every dollar counts. And join our newsletter by emailing us at thewholechurch@gmail.com.
So that's a yes then. All right. And of course, they wouldn't have to hear this break at all if they simply joined our Patreon, like you said, at patreon.com/thewholechurchpodcast.
Right. And let's get back to the show.
Oh, man. So you are the president of Theophany Media. We've mentioned it a few times. What could you tell us about some of your other projects going on? I know you mentioned the two podcasts already, but you got anything else going on that our audience might want to know about?
Yeah, with Theophany, we're always kind of experimenting with new things to help our audience, which is mostly creative Christians. But we really hope to also expand to talk more to the consumers of creativity eventually, you know, by putting out stories and fiction, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that might have to come a little bit later. We're really focusing on fostering creatives right now. So yeah, we have that podcast, Creatively Christian, coming January 7th in 2021. And that's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah. I was going to say, where can we find that? You said January 7th.
You can find that on all places good podcasts are found. So wherever this podcast is, wherever you're listening to this right now, unless it's on your website, then obviously it wouldn't be there. But
a little do you know, we started our own website just with your podcast on that. Well,
yeah. So our website has two podcasts, ours and yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought you'd be okay with it, but no, we don't have a website yet.
Of course, you should be able to search Creatively Christian on all those podcasting platforms. And then you can also go to theophanymedia.com, which will have information there. It'll kind of show up as a blog post each week. The blog post will have all the show notes and the details and the stuff, and then a link to listen to the recording. But yeah, you can find that all over the place. And that's something I'm really excited about, big and pushing. I'm not actually one of the hosts there, so if you are widely interested in me for some reason, I am sorry to disappoint you. I'm the producer. I'm kind of behind the scenes. I will be doing the bonus interviews that I mentioned earlier. I'm the guy talking with people about the business side of creating, but we have four awesome hosts that rotate instead of getting them all there at the same time. Our hosts, Brandon, Andrea, Lynn, and Bill are all awesome, and they take turns interviewing the coolest people. Each of them has kind of a specialty-ish, but they're all kind of eclectic. And so they interview people that are in their kind of niche so they can kind of speak that language. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's a little bit new, but also there's some things like it before, but we're kind of paving our own path.
Yeah,
right.
I'm kind of excited for it. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Josh's specialty is theology, and my specialty is making sure Josh doesn't talk too much.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Everyone's role is important.
Yeah.
But mostly TJ's.
My specialty is actually theology, too. In the creative department, in terms of things published, I'm not necessarily... I don't have a long, glowing list of books and things like that. Working toward that. But right now, I'm really focused on kind of the theological side, the care of souls side of creating. I see that as a ministry right now.
Yeah, it's an awesome ministry that hopefully more people get involved with and go to your podcast and talk about it.
I hope so.
Yeah, man.
So would it be wrong to say that you want Theophany Media to be sort of like the New Age VeggieTales?
The New Age of VeggieTales, or like VeggieTales but with a New Agey vibe?
the New Age of...
Okay.
A similar concept to VeggieTales.
Well, yeah, the same big idea, pun intended.
that was good.
Yeah. Nice. Definitely. I mean, I've listened to some stuff that like Phil Fisher has said on podcasts, And that was his whole kind of goal, right? How can we reach kids with the message of Jesus, but do so in an entertaining way and with this cool new thing called animation that we're just kind of trying to figure out? This computer animation, what's this? And so then they created VeggieTales and all those other things. So we're kind of doing that. We don't have a VeggieTales-like thing. Not yet. Although one of our hosts is a Christian animator with a company called Brainy Pixel, and they have a new animated kid show called Cubekins that they just released the first episode of. So I do have some connections to Christian animation. Maybe that's the next VeggieTales.
So maybe. So
who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I was hoping the next VeggieTales was just going to be Christian fruit, but whatever.
No, these guys are cubes, cube people.
Even better. Christian Minecraft.
Yeah, now we're talking. Oh, man. So as we wrap up, Jake, one thing we like to ask every single guest we have, we just like asking everybody this because hopefully someone's going to have the golden answer or maybe a collection of all these answers as the golden answer, and we'll just have church unity afterwards. We like to ask everybody if you could just give us one just practical, tangible thing that everyone listening can go and do. Like they could just walk away from this podcast, do what you're about to say, and that would help maintain unity in the whole church. What would that one thing be?
Yes. That one thing would be listen and understand that other people are rational and come to conclusions with some kind of rationality, even if you end up disagreeing with them. So the too long didn't read version, most people are not just stupid for stupid's sake, basically.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what do you think we would see happen if everyone started doing that, listening and understanding?
Well, what happens with a lot of church disunity is the villainizing of other people that disagree on whatever subject. And oftentimes what we get thrown around is, oh, wait, you believe that about the Bible? That's probably because you're evil and you want permission to sin and, you know, wow, Satan's possessed you. So don't do that. That is not going to cause unity at all. There's definitely some things we have to be united on in the essentials. I do believe that. But there's a lot of things that we can just say, you know what? That person studied the Bible. They wrestled with God. They asked the Holy Spirit. And you know what? They came away with a conclusion that was not my own. I'm going to listen and respect that. Maybe I can learn from their journey, or maybe ultimately I just come back and say, I just can't get on board that train. Uh-huh. But I think that's going to cause a lot of peace and stop kind of that, might not solve division, but it will stop a lot of the animosity so we can still be united even with those differences.
That's awesome.
So is this the part where I should apologize for TJ for calling him a Satanist because of his opinions on Star Wars Episode 3, or am I still good?
No. You shouldn't apologize for having the wrong opinion. So.
Well, what's the opinion on Star Wars 3? That would really help me judge.
He thinks it's decent for some reason.
No, I think it's good.
I just think it's an awful movie.
Well, I think it's decent, so...
All right.
So do with that what you will.
We might not publish. Yeah.
No, he supports me.
That's right. TJ's the boss. So
yeah. So that's awesome. So just listen and understand, because you know, everyone's life is just as complicated as yours. So any conclusions that they come to is at least worth listening to.
Amen.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. So the first part of our outro. You made it through the episode. Congratulations. That a second certificate will be on the way.
Perfect.
We like to start with our God moment segment, which is just, you know, just a moment from our lives when God has challenged us or blessed us or whatever, what have you. And I always like to make Josh go first, unless I think I can steal his.
Okay. So, yeah. Mine's a challenge and a blessing this week. Or, I don't know. I'm just going to say what it is, and you guys can decide what it is, you know, whatever. Sunday morning, our pastor preached, he's been going through Ephesians for like 5 or 6 years now or something. I don't know. It has been legitimately more than a year. I'm not kidding about that. But he got to the part where he's talking about in Ephesians 5. It says, be filled with, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And I said, listen, what happens when you're filled with the Spirit? And the first thing is people filled with the Spirit sing to one another. And he's talking about worship and singing, which is kind of ironic for this episode, I guess.
Yeah. But,
it was really challenging to me because I'm not a big singer or emotional person. Like my time with God, usually when I feel closest is, you know, I open up my Bible and I'm like deep studying with whatever books I have around me, you know, whatever. And that's usually my God time. My God moment is usually that. So I felt challenged because I'm like, man, I don't usually sing that much. But then at work yesterday, I caught myself whistling the precious blood of Jesus. And I was like, huh, I wonder if I do this more than I think I do this. So I don't know if it's a challenge or a just kind of a realizing part of my worship that I've kind of not paid attention to that maybe already exists. Who knows?
It's an observation to be sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like a challenge observation something. I don't know.
A realization.
Yeah. So are you gonna sing for us now to demonstrate that this only has impacted your life?
Only for our patrons.
There you go.
Yeah. I will sing the greatest worship song ever, known as the intro to VeggieTales. Yeah. So TJ, did God do anything with you recently?
So we had some big news today.
Oh.
The NHL has officially confirmed when the season starts and how long it'll be, but that's not what I'm talking about today.
Is it the Dr. Octopus is back?
No. That's a big deal. Good too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But those I don't consider those, you know, God moments, except a little bit I do. And but it is a challenge. My my great uncle Dennis has tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh.
Which is rough. The first member of my family that's I guess he's not immediate family, but he really is, you know. See him all the time. So you know, that's a bit of a challenge, you know. Pray, hope it doesn't spread. Hope Dennis comes out of it fine. All that good stuff. He is quite old.
Right, yeah.
That's
definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Mm. Praying for that. That's my God moment.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't follow that. So Jake, what's got up with you recently?
Well, I think it sounds like more promotion, but I'm really thankful for my podcast hosts. I got them together last like July. So we've been working on this thing for 5 or 6 months, and I really expected the minimum of them. Like I said, okay, all I need is this, just one episode a month from each of you. And they just have keep going above and beyond. And we've honestly all become friends and have weekly meetings. And it's just a blessing because they're different ages, different parts of the country, different races. Like, and that kind of diversity has really impacted me and really blessed me.
Also sounds like a great example of unity. So glad we got to end the show with that. That's great, man.
Yeah, the whole church.
I wish I was friends with my co-host.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah. What? I don't know. I didn't say anything. Star Wars. But, you know, we do love to hear that. The unity, even in small parts, it is great.
Oh, yeah. So,
big fans of that here at the Whole Church Podcast.
Oh, yeah. So, Jake, real quick, where can they find Theophany Media? I know you said they have a website. Can we just one more time so they don't forget?
All right, everybody, get out pens and paper. TheophanyMedia.com, and then on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at Theophany Media. And then I'm personally found across the web on various platforms under the name Jake Dobrins, appropriately enough. And then I own my domain
name. So bold.
I know.
Yeah, I use a stage name.
Although. Try to spell my last name. That's the real challenge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to where I can because I did it so many times.
Oh, I've got it.
Stuff. Yeah.
I've seen harder names.
Yeah, well, fair Tiberius enough. Really does go by a stage name. So, I mean, there's that.
That's yeah, I guess it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Well, all my favorite hockey players are Finnish. I was raised in the grinder.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway, some future guests for the podcast. We'll be having Pastor C.T. Kirk, Eric Nevins of the Christian Podcast Association, Pastor Tim Register, and naturally, at the end of the season, we will have Francis Chan.
Who just doesn't know yet, probably. Right. I mean, he probably doesn't know. He could know.
We haven't told him. He hasn't agreed.
So,
he does not know. We'll get him.
Yeah.
He'll be on here.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Head on over to Patreon if you want to hear the rest. We should do one last segment. So, no more